Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. There is no single policy or practice that can eliminate gender gaps at work and at home, but being raised by a working mother appears to come very close to that. Women raised by a working mother do better in the workplace, and men raised by a working mother contribute more at home. Those are the overall findings of a study that was commissioned by and authored by a Harvard Business School professor who is our guest this hour. It's the working mother effect, and our guest is the author, Professor Kathleen McGinn, professor of business administration at Harvard Business School and chair of Harvard Business School's doctoral programs. She previously served as director of research and senior associate dean for faculty development. She studies the role of gender at work and also in negotiations. We'll talk more about this study and welcome your phone calls, because here's an issue that everybody will be able to respond to. If you are a working mom feeling slightly guilty about working, because our society makes many people feel guilty if they're working and raising children at the same time, if you are the product of a working mom and you think that it had an influence on you, if you're male or female, we welcome your phone calls. Why is it that mothers perform, working mothers, daughters and perform better in the workplace? Why is it that they earn more money? And why is there not a similar effect for sons? We're going to look at all of those issues this hour. And here's how you become a part of the discussion. 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Email talk at WPR.org. Facebook, The Kathleen Dunn Show. And Twitter is at K Dunn Show. Professor McGinn, hello. Thanks so much for being with us.
Hello, Kathleen. I'm glad to join you.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you here. Now, this was a huge study. It was an international study, wasn't it? 25 developed countries you examined?
So we ended up looking at 24 countries. We dropped Bulgaria due to missing data. But we didn't collect the data. The data are collected by a national consortium called the International Social Surveys Program. It's run out of Germany. It's a cooperative consortium across 30-plus countries. And in 2002 and 2012, they added some information to their, or they added some questions about parental role models and about gender attitudes to their survey. So that's the data that we use for our study.
Mm-hmm. It's very timely, because just on a personal level, I know so many women who really are deeply concerned about this issue, that you feel torn if you are working, that you're worried about your child and wondering about the effect of working on your child. It's very, very hard for women, I think.
I think it's hard for most parents to say goodbye to their kids every day.
Yes.
We have socialized women to think that it's fully their responsibility.
Yes.
So it is hard to say goodbye to your kids every day, but I think it helps a lot to think about the advantages that you're bringing to the family by being employed, and the opportunities that your kids are having by seeing you as a role model.
Mm-hmm. Well, how I started this show is a fairly dramatic statement that you've made. Being raised by a working mother appears to come very close to a policy that can eliminate gender gaps at work and at home. Isn't that an amazing statement?
So it greatly reduces the gender gap in terms of employment. So women who are raised by working moms, as you said, are much more likely to be employed themselves. And actually, let me back up just a sec. I have a move to using the term employed moms, because, of course, moms at work, at home, and in the office.
Right.
You know, my mother stayed home full-time and raised five children. That was certainly work. So
I'll bet it was.
Yeah. So employed mothers provide a role model to their daughters that increases the likelihood that their daughters are going to go to work. It increases the number of hours they work when they do go to work. It increases their income due to those hours. And most surprisingly to us, it makes it much more likely that they're going to be supervisors or have supervisory responsibility over others at work. So when I talk about it reducing the gender gap at work, it's the fact that women have reshaped their idea about what's appropriate for them that really opens up possibilities in the workplace for them.
And what
doesn't solve a whole lot of other problems. But it certainly makes women more likely to go to work.
And it makes sons more likely to do what?
So much more likely to provide family care. So they also, across the world, spend a little bit more time engaged in household work. But the big effect is on the number of hours they spend each week in family care. And I'll use the numbers in the U.S. as an example, because across the world there's huge variance in terms of per country, the number of hours that men and women spend caring for family members. But in the U.S., after we control for a host of variables, so we have to control things for things like how old you are, how many years of education you have. When we're looking at the amount of time you spend at home, we also have to control for your income, whether you're employed or not. We control for whether you're married, if you have children at home, how religious you are, whether you live in a city or a non-urban area, and we control for your gender attitudes, which we can talk some more about later. But when we control for all of those things, men whose moms stayed home full-time when the men were under 14 years old spend about almost 8.5 hours a week caring for family members. Men whose moms were employed spend over 15 hours a week caring for family members. So that's a really big difference in the amount of involvement that these men have in their families.
Absolutely. And what are the figures for the women?
So women, it actually doesn't affect it. It's a little bit higher. So I can grab this a little bit higher, but it's not statistically significant. So for each one of these things, we basically say, okay, is there an effect? And if there is an effect, is the effect significant after we control for a whole bunch of things? So when we look at women and we control for the same set of things that I just talked about, women whose moms were employed spend 27.5 hours, and women whose moms stayed home full-time spend 27.8 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So it's essentially the same.
And what's interesting here, well, the whole study is interesting, but good for you that you're doing this now, because you talk about the link between home and the workplace, which really is more and more critical because so many people are doing this. We have two wage-earning families, and we need to talk about what's going on in the workplace and inequality in the home as well. Most of us are in these kinds of families where we're working, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So recent data that's come out of the University of Minnesota suggests that in the last 15 years, we've essentially flattened out at about 60% of households being two wage earner households. At a roughly a third of households are male-only wage earner households, and a growing number of households, it's increased from about 4% to about 8% since 2000, are households where the only the woman works. And these are only households where there are two adults at home.
Mm-hmm.
So completely on top of all of the single wage earner households that are single mother families, women are becoming increasingly the single wage earner. But in lots of households, the majority of two-parent households, both of them work.
Mm. And when it comes to working mothers performing better in the workplace, earning more money, being in supervisory roles, is that dependent on the number of hours or the kinds of jobs that their mothers had?
So this we don't know. And if anyone knows of a data source that can that we can dig into that, so the question that was asked on this survey was, did your mother ever work for pay for a year or more when you between the time you were born and the time you were 14 years old? So when we say employed moms, we're including everything from a mom who worked for a year part-time when her child was six to a mom who worked 60 hours a week from, you know, 2 weeks after her child was born until he was 14 years old. So this is what we call in sort of statistics a really noisy signal. So if we could look more finely at the different types of employed moms, I'm sure we could learn a lot more. And we're trying to figure out how we can get that more fine-grained data.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully we'll hear from some of your listeners.
Oh, we will, yeah.
About that difference. You know, what's it like to be a kid of an employed mom who's gone 2 days a week versus an employed mom who's gone 6 days a week?
And when you analyze these numbers, what is it about having your mom working that makes you, as a female, be able to perform better in the workplace, to make more money, to be in a supervisory role? What do the statistics say?
So this is a key question. So what we do is we look at the effect of being raised by an employed mom on your gender attitudes as an adult. So on your attitudes about women's roles at work, women's roles at home, men's roles at work, men's roles at home. And it turns out that for both men and for women, being raised by a mom who is employed makes you much more egalitarian in your gender attitudes. When we run our analyses without gender attitudes, the effect size, that is, the amount of difference that we can attribute to employed moms, is, say, you know, 20 hours a week. But when we control for gender attitudes, in almost all of the regressions, that amount shrinks by something. In some of the regressions, for example, in whether women are employed or not, that shrinks a lot. So almost all of the effect of being raised by an employed mom on whether women work or not as adults comes through the fact that it really changes their attitudes about whether work is a thing that women do.
Interesting.
On other things, and the most notable is the supervisory responsibility and the family care for men. So for women, women are more likely to hold supervisory responsibilities if their moms were employed. And a little bit of this effect is due to the difference in gender attitudes, but lots of it is still due to just the role model that their mom provides. That is, that women can be powerful. And so this we can't tease out statistically. So this is what we call, you know, more study to be done.
Right.
But much of the differences are due to the change in gender attitudes. The supervisor responsibility is coming from more than that. And the hours care that men put in is about half due to gender attitudes and about half probably due to just different habits that guys whose moms worked full-time or worked part-time or full-time really have to get into when they're kids.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that a lot of these attitudes, I've been watching, I don't know why, except I think it was really a funny show. I've been watching old episodes of Frasier to keep...
Oh, it is a great show.
Well, it was really a good show. And last night I was watching, and the episode was actually about a female boss who came in, and Frasier, all the men in the office were really afraid. You know, she was tough. She was gritty. They didn't want to deal with her. They were hiding from her, you know, in the bathrooms. She was upsetting their schedules and putting them on night shift instead of the day shift. And I thought, you know, this is, it was a funny show still, but I thought, you know, historically, this really is a historic show now, because so much has changed even in the, I don't know what, 15 years or so since that episode was made.
Right. Right. Things have shifted drastically.
They have.
So part of what we're seeing is that these effects are partially cohort effects, in the sense of, so if you're my age and your mom worked outside the home, she was really swimming against the stream.
Mm-hmm.
So the effects, so as you get older and older, the effects on the very oldest cohort in our sample, and those are up to 60 years old, so the between 55 and 60-year-old cohort, those effects are very, very weak, because those women essentially had no support system when they were working outside the home. The strongest effects come for people who are between 25 years old, so they actually are having to make decisions about their lives, because under 25, most women are working. So between 25 years old and 55 years old is where we see the strongest effect. And these are people who are raised by moms who were starting to live in a world where there was some support for their employment.
It's been such a major change in the last century, hasn't it?
Yes. Yes and no. So the idea of separate spheres where men were in the public sphere at work and women were in the private sphere at home, that was a very short-lived period, right? So between World War I and after World War II was the time when basically men were in industrial jobs and women stayed home. Prior to that, you know, men had small businesses, men had family businesses, men had agricultural jobs, men had trade or craft jobs, and women were involved in all of that too. So we kind of have this view of the natural thing being women staying at home and not working at all and men sort of leaving the house every day and going to work. And that's really not the history of humankind.
We're going to hear real-life stories now. Our guest is Professor Kathleen McGinn. She's a professor of business administration at Harvard Business School and chair of Harvard Business School's doctoral programs. She studies the role of gender at work and in negotiations, and we're looking at this really interesting report, The Working Mother Effect, which shows that there is actually an improvement in job satisfaction and ability to advance for adult daughters of mothers who worked outside the home before their daughters were 14 years old. It's a comprehensive survey of 50,000 adults ages 18 to 60 in 24 nations all over the world in 2002 and 2012. And we're talking about the effects on boys, too, not as dramatic in the workplace, but in terms of the amount of time spent doing family care, there is a difference. They spend more time doing family care. So what do you think? Tell us what your stories have been when you think about your moms, working moms particularly, and how it may have influenced your life in some way. Maybe you can put real-life situations behind what we're discussing. We'd like to hear from you. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. The email is talk@wpr.org. Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show. We're on Twitter as well, and that's at K Dunn Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Tomorrow during this hour, we're going to remember and listen to some of the great music of Motown with cast members of the traveling show. Motown, the musical, opens in Milwaukee on July 7. It's based on the true story of Motown founder Berry Gordy's journey to become the music mogul who launched the careers of, just to name a few, Diana Ross, Michael Jackson, Smokey Robinson, and so many others. So this will be tomorrow, and of course, we'll play some tunes. We'll rock out tomorrow a bit as well. We'll have fun. We started rocking out today in anticipation of tomorrow's show, actually. All right, let's welcome phone calls. The Working Mother Effect this hour, and we start our calls, Kathleen, with Annalisa in Green Bay. Hi, Annalisa.
Hi. Well, I was a working mother, and it seems to hold true in my case. My daughter is a professional, and my son is great at helping out with the kids. My question, though, is especially since I listened to the program last hour, is this really a middle-class phenomenon? I mean, how does this work in families where parents have to have two jobs? What is the effect on the children there? Does that have an equally positive effect in cases like that? I'll take my answer off the air.
Or three jobs, for that matter.
Great question, Annalisa. There are differences across income levels. The differences work in the opposite direction, though, that we might think about at first. My study and other studies before it have found that the positive influence of employed moms is strongest at the lowest income levels. So there have been, for many years, studies done that looked at the effect of moms that were employed, relatives that to moms that stayed home full-time, on young kids' academic achievement and behavioral issues. And it turns out that across a whole bunch of studies, if you look across these studies, the effects are weakly positive in the sense of children of moms who were employed do slightly better at school, and they have slightly fewer behavioral problems, and these effects are biggest for low-income kids. The same thing looks to be true in our data. Because our data come from nationally representative samples, in the U.S., for example, the incomes of the folks in our sample are right around median income. So the effects are really talking about people across income levels, but again, the effects are strongest for people at lower income levels.
Well, that's interesting. Nathan writes on Facebook, my wife does home daycare early childhood education for the children of my colleagues. So she is self-employed. Is she an employed mother, and are there the same benefits for women like her?
She's absolutely an employed mother. So the data that we look at asks if your mom ever worked for pay. So that's inside the home, outside the home, whether she could be doing some kind of piece rate work and selling it. So ever worked for pay before you were 14 years old. So it absolutely includes your wife, Nathan.
Mm-hmm. Ruthie in Milwaukee, hi.
Hi. I had a question whether or not the study measured the child's satisfaction of sort of their childhood while their mom was working. And the reason why I ask is both of my sisters are employed mothers, and I think they worry a lot about how satisfied their child is going to be, you know, when they grow up, looking back with the mom, you know, sort of spending a lot of her time working, and how that would impact them long-term sort of emotionally.
Yeah, thanks for the question, Ruthie. We do have some information on that. So one of the questions the survey asked was, how happy are you with your life overall? And when we do the same set of analyses, controlling for all of the other things we controlled for, the effect of being raised by an employed mom on happiness for women is absolutely nothing. That is true for men as well. So women who are raised by a mom who is employed, they're not more happy, they're not less happy. It's not driving happiness. What it's doing is providing a role model that tells you what's appropriate behavior. In some ways, the results of the study are surprising to people, but in some ways, we know this, that our parents are our role models. So lots of us, even though we don't think so when we're teenagers, end up doing kind of what our parents do. And so we, as daughters, often emulate our mothers, and as workers often emulate whoever it was that was employed in the family. It was not coincidental that my dad was a professor.
Really?
I think it's a really important question, Ruthie, and what we see is that it's not about happiness. It's mm-hmm. really about the behavior that the employed moms are providing as a role model to their kids.
And Kathleen, what did your mom think about you becoming a professor at Harvard, no less?
My mom is an incredibly loving and supportive person, and I think she basically couldn't give a hoot that I'm a professor at Harvard. She cares a lot that I'm a good person.
There you go. That's great.
Yeah, so my parents in their retirement years are running a food program for the homeless and the unemployed. So, I think they care, again, that what I do has a positive effect on the world. But I think she would prefer that I be living close to her in Seattle.
Well, you had some role models, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah. Thanks, Ruthie, so much for your call. Cindy is next in Sheboygan. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Cindy.
Great show, by the way.
Great.
I caught the last maybe 15 minutes of it, and it got me thinking quickly about my life. And my mother was a stay-at-home mom, so I was a stay-at-home mom to my 8 kids. Until I want to think my oldest would have been about 12 or 13, and I went back to grad school.
Mm.
And so her experience with me is grad school. And then my younger children after her saw me working, because then I immediately started working full time. And it's interesting that my oldest is way into education. I mean, she'll go to school forever. But my other daughters, my 21-year-old, is in a supervisory position already. And at a resort, and the next daughter down, who's 16, kind of on a fast track to the same thing. And my boys, well, they just work, but I just think it's interesting seeing the impact, I think, that I've had on them, on my girls.
So, Cindy, did you say you had eight kids, and when your youngest was in school, you went back to school?
Yes. So she was, I want to say, she's 16 now. She probably was about eight when I went back to school, but for, I would say, between the ages of 10 and 16, she has seen me work as a professional.
Wow, what an incredible role model. So anybody who can raise eight kids and
yes.
go back to school and be a professional, kudos to you. What have you found? So a lot of women have talked with me about, oh, this is so hard. You know, you're saying that it's, you know, that it's not hurting our kids, but it's really hard. So what have you found to be the most rewarding and the toughest things for you as a mother of eight who's a professional?
Well, I raise the kids to be pretty self-sufficient. Mm-hmm. They all have a job to do in the house, and they know how to do it, and they know to do it. And they do get it done. And they all, like I said, work. They started working young, 14, 15. They value having, you know, they have a good work ethic. I think that's why they've risen to good positions, you know, quickly. And also, I made sure to find a job that I could pretty much run my life the way I want to run it, and I do a lot of work from home. So that was kind of the trade-off I needed to do, was find something that I could do also working from home, so I'm a little bit more present because I didn't want to leave my teenagers unsupervised.
Mm-hmm.
So they've all pitched in. They've all done what they have to do.
Mm. Cindy, did you give up sleep, Cindy?
What's that?
Yeah, I'll bet.
There's a couple.
Definitely. But it's worth it.
Uh-huh.
There are a couple things that you're saying in there, Cindy, that are really important. One is, and we should dig further into this, one is you're saying that your kids took on responsibility at a really early age.
Mm-hmm.
And that may be part of the key to why employed moms have this effect on their kids, that their kids really are taking responsibility younger and perhaps more responsibility. The other thing you said that is really, really important is that kids do need parental presence and quality time. It turns out that over the last few decades, parents are actually spending more time with their kids, not less time with their kids, even though both parents are employed. So parents, most parents aren't doing this with eight kids as you are, but parents are figuring out a way to really give sort of quality presence to their kids.
Thank you so much, Cindy, for calling. I was trying to imagine Cindy's life, Professor, and it was, oh, my goodness, can you imagine that? Working in, at home and working with eight children. Oh.
Sounds like we could all learn a lot from her.
I think you're right. Write a book, yeah. Dolores in Kenosha, hi.
Oh, hi. Well, I only have four kids.
Oh, my.
But I have worked their entire lives. I usually work second shift. My husband always worked day shift opposite me, so someone was with the kids. And there was like a little overlap time sometimes. And I used to feel bad. I went on to night shift on the weekends, and I missed extended family parties because I could not get off.
Mm-hmm.
Can't take, you know, when I had birthday parties, it was on Friday. But they always had it on Saturday or Sunday, so I couldn't go. My husband would go there. My husband would take the kids to Scouts. He was wonderful. And I stopped feeling bad when I realized that I had married well. I had married a man who would be a partner in taking care of these children.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in the living room. I say this to this day. Our kids are all adults now. I'm working night shift, you know, but which helps us out. Hopefully we'll retire in a couple of years, but I think you need that kind of support, and that's what makes the difference. And all of our kids are successful. They're not famous. They're not millionaires or anything like that. But they all have solid jobs.
Mm-hmm.
They have solid partners.
Yeah.
you know, and I hope they got it from their father and I.
Yeah, it sounds like they did. What more can you ask for? Solid jobs, solid partners, solid lives, it sounds like, Professor McGinn. And it's hard to believe that they didn't get it from their parents, right?
Absolutely. Dolores, I think one of the things you're pointing out that's really important is it takes multiple people to be the full support system that kids need. Now, lots of parents are single parents, and they don't have the wonderful support that you did with, from your husband. But all of us need help with our kids, and all kids need more than just one parent to look up to. The wonderful part of your story, you've said, you know, you got used to missing those parties, and that's what fathers have been saying for decades, right? You know, I can never make it to my kid's birthday party. And so this parental sharing where you make it to some things and your husband makes it to other things and you both make it to some things, that's your kids are really getting to see that fathers and mothers really, really count in raising their children.
Thank you so much, Dolores, for calling. I'm going to remember your call. We are welcoming phone calls. We're talking about the working mother effect this hour of the program and hearing your stories at 800-486-8655. Kathleen McGinn is professor of business administration at Harvard's Business School and chair of the school's doctoral program. And she studies the role of gender at work and in negotiations. So this report, which has been released, is very comprehensive, and it's a worldwide look at working mothers. A survey of 50,000 adults, 18 to 20 or to 60, in 24 nations all over the country. What do you think when you look at your own life? What do you think the impact has been? And as we become a nation where it's pretty much a given that at some point in life, if you're in a household where there are two people that both will be working. And I think that we're still far from a time when moms particularly don't feel a little bit guilty about being in the workforce. Their mind, their heart's in a couple places at once, even though physically you can't be in a couple places at once. 800-486-8655 is our number. We'll take more phone calls in a moment. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. All right, back to phone calls. Lynn in La Crosse is next. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just want to say I don't mean to be mean here, but I just cringe when people say women who stay at home don't work. I used to work for the state. I no longer. I'm now employed at home. Because I take care of all the activities with the animals, the gardens, and it drives me crazy when people say, I'm unemployed, I don't work. I work harder than I've ever worked before. That's all I want to say.
All right, and you made the point early in the show that you prefer the phrase employed moms, because certainly Lynn is working. I mean, Lynn is working.
Absolutely. So Lynn's point is exactly right. So we try very hard in our written materials to say employed moms. We talk about maternal employment. Lynn's making two really important points. The first one is that absolutely parents who stay at home full time are working. I just spent the weekend with my cousin who has three children who are involved in multiple sports, and that is a full-time job if there ever was one. The other point she's making that I think is really important is that the value, the monetary value of what full-time stay-at-home mothers do is huge. So we as a society don't put a monetary value on this, but some people have looked at this. And if you look at even at, you know, sort of low hourly wage, if you look at the number of hours that moms who stay home full-time put in taking care of kids, doing laundry, cleaning the house, doing grocery shopping, and then lots of moms who stay home full-time essentially run our public school system. They are on the PTO or the PTA. They help raise funds for schools. They run the sports programs. They run the drama programs. And stay-at-home dads and stay-at-home moms do this. And all of us who have kids in schools benefit from these parents who stay home full-time. So there is lots of value that comes to the world from people who stay home full-time. And I think what we want to make sure we don't take away from my research or other research on maternal employment or father's involvement at home, like Paul Rayburn, your guest earlier, talked about. We don't want to move to a model that says all men should stay home full-time, all women should go to work, or all women should go to work and all men should be deeply involved in the family. What we want to be able to move to is a world where people are making those choices without feeling pressured into making those choices because gender stereotypes tell them that's what they're supposed to be doing.
Yeah. Thank you, Lynn, for your call. Mary in Mazamani. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Mary.
Hi. I wondered if working moms had any impact on the professions that their daughters choose. I have a daughter who is an engineer, and I didn't know if working moms have like I said, an impact in picking traditionally male-oriented jobs for their daughters.
So it's a great question, Mary. We have those data, and we have not been able to dig into them yet. But what you're saying is intuitively likely. So I think that's because of two things. One is that we know from previous studies of looking at children and their parents who work, period, that children are very likely to take on careers that are similar to their parents' careers. So I said, mentioned earlier that my dad's a professor. The other thing is that one of the things that keeps girls back from entering into the sciences and the maths is gender stereotypes. So what's been very interesting is some schools are experimenting with the idea of having girls programming classes, girls science classes, and they teach exactly the same thing as they teach in the mixed gender classes, and yet girls feel like, oh, I can do this. And so if you are living in an environment, for whatever reason, where you're holding more egalitarian gender attitudes, chances are you're also more likely to take non-traditional gender roles at work.
That's interesting. You know, and I think I have to luckily say I'm in the camp with some of the earlier callers, and that I have a spouse who contributes greatly to our household and the activities in the household and the duties. And, yeah, whether that has just sent a signal to my daughters that you know, there's no line between who does what and who traditionally does what and who's supposed to do what, and that, yeah, that, you know, there's a little more that's possible out there.
Absolutely. Yeah, the opening up the possibilities is really key here, and that's back to Lynn's point. Staying at home full-time is a wonderful opportunity if that's what people want to do. So really opening up the possibilities for our kids, male, female, to work, to engage in some other things to do every day, that really would be sort of what I think of, and others might disagree, but what I think of as a really wonderful thing to aim for, that people are making individual choices.
Thanks, Mary. Katie in Bayfield, hi.
Hi. So I was just calling in because I wanted to bring up the point to I'm 30 years old, I have three kids of my own, and my mom worked full-time from when I was a bitty baby, and she worked at first. My parents owned their own business, so we were with her the whole time until I was probably about seven or so. And then after that, she went and got a degree in her CPA licensing and entered the workforce full-time. My dad unfortunately passed away, and so then she became a single mother who really had to put in a lot of work and a lot of hours and a lot of time, and it did take her away from where we were. And I don't want to say I learned from her mistakes, because everything that she did was a very specific, very direct choice and a very necessary choice. But I remember the feeling of going to work with my mom and being with my mom all the time. And so now in my career choice, I'm now an educator at my my children all go to the same school that I teach at and will hopefully maintain and stay in the same school. I'm in a really lucky, wonderful program where there's the opportunity that they'll be able to be there for the majority of their educational career. And I spend my entire life with my kids. Everything that we do is together. We go to work together. We go to school together. We go home together. And that piece of it I really wanted to be able to provide. And then just another point in hearing your previous callers, I had to go to school to become an educator. And so their father took on the role of caring and being the primary role at home with them. And as I was finishing up with school and I'm settling in my career and I'm really established as a career individual, he now has the opportunity to go out and make the choices that he needs to develop as his own individual personality. And so now I get to be at home with them because I chose a career that we're all included in. And I thought that that was just a really interesting perspective and really learning from those choices my mother had to make and taking those with me. As I
yeah, on. Isn't that interesting that she remembers those years so vividly, Professor McGinn?
So I think it's not surprising. So I'm sorry your dad passed away early. I think that sort of shock in your lives probably really changed the relationship all of you had with your mom. And it's the life that you have, being able to be with your children and have a fulfilling career, is fantastic. In some ways, it's really similar to the lives that lots of families had when we were more agricultural society, right, where both the mom and the dad worked full-time, but worked full-time with the kids right by them. But that's not something that most of us can choose anymore. And so the time that we do have with our children is really, really precious. You're just incredibly lucky that,
yes,
that you can do both.
Yeah. Thanks, Katie, very much for your call. Daniel in Toma. Hi, Daniel.
Hi. I'm a single dad, and my mother's a hard worker her whole life. She worked third shift when we were younger. And the reason I called, I know you got a lot of women calling here, and it's about women, but my mom was a full-time worker, and we kind of like, there was five of us, and we're all pretty, not successful, but we're workers. And I worked two jobs, and I'm having problems. Like, my wife passed on her mother, and she lost her when she was 8 years old, but she never knew her mom. Her mom left us at 1 year old on Christmas Day. Mm-hmm. I raised her by myself. I worked two jobs the whole time, and then at the same time, I raised her, and I used to take her on my first job all the time. Of course, when she started school, she couldn't go on the first job because she got to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
My mom didn't raise her. I raised her. I made sure that I didn't drop off at mom's house, you know, grandma's house, and say, you raised her. I took all responsibility, took her all the parties, I've done everything. And I never found another spouse to go with because nobody at my age, I got a late start on fatherhood. And most women that I met said they don't want to be a mom again.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't date me. So I've basically done everything. And right now she's acting up really bad. Don't want to listen, don't want to do nothing. And I've never done anything. In fact, last night she called the cops on me because she says that she shot a BB gun through my window and I was upset. And I grounded her, and in return, she called police. Now she's got her sisters, the stepdaughter. But I was just wondering, is it because of her mother passing on? Do you think she's doing this?
How old is she?
Or do you think it's because she's 13 now?
13. Oh, yeah, 13.
Or do you think it's because I'm doing something wrong?
No.
I mean, I've done everything for her. I can't get enough time on this call. I mean, I've been here from, she's deaf. My daughter's handicapped also. She lost her hearing.
Oh.
Her nerves died on her right side, so I have a Baha at a certain machine, and I've been to every operation for her. She's had 5-6 operations. Her mother never showed up for them. I've been there for every operation, every hospital visit. I've done everything, took her to Bible camps, bring her back. Anything she wanted to try, she's tried. I paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just frustrated right now.
I know. I can hear it. Professor McGinn.
Yeah, I thanks for sharing your story, Daniel. I think you are telling the story of being a single parent. You know, some single parents don't have as many difficulties. Some single parents have more, but raising children is a really, really hard job. Raising a 13-year-old is almost an impossible job. But I think what you're talking about is an issue with single parents. Single parents aren't choosing to work. Single parents have to work. They have to raise their kids, and they have to be able to pay to raise their kids. And so there are a lot of challenges that single parents face. One of the things that you're saying is that your mother's helping. And so, as we were talking about earlier, it often takes lots of adults to really give kids what they need. And so I hope that you'll encourage her to seek the guidance of other adults as well. But I just wish you a lot of luck. On a side note, I've lost my hearing in one ear as well. So it does change your life, but I wish both you and your daughter a lot of luck.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard sometimes. It's just hard. Everything doesn't go swimmingly. And she is 13, and I think 13 is a hard age.
Tough age, yeah.
Don't you? It's hard.
Yes.
All the best to you, Daniel. I hope it gets easier. And she flourishes, and so do you. Fred in Mukwonago. Hi.
Hi. I have just a kind of a general question, and you might have addressed this earlier. But is there, has the professor found that there's less of a tendency toward objectification of women or sexism in kids raised by working mothers? I don't know if her research even went into that direction, but I know that I was raised by a mother, actually in the 1960s, who worked a factory job. And so I've always had in my life very strong women. In other words, I never saw my mom as less than a male counterpart. Mm. But yet I'm appalled by sometimes the men around me and their attitudes towards women. It's almost like a foreign sort of concept that somehow gender would determine, you know, less ability or something of that sort. So have you found does the type of job that a woman works, as you said, my mom came home every night smelling of factory and grease, engines, and so I just always had the example. My grandmother was the same way, but I had an example of very, very strong women in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just shocks me at times, or kind of appalls me, to listen to people, as you said, to objectify or to use sexist rhetoric.
Mm-hmm. Professor?
So, Fred, very good question. We do find, not based on what the mother did, but children that were raised by moms who were employed have much more egalitarian gender attitudes. So they see it as much more normal that women will be involved at work and that men will be involved at home. We don't have measures of being sexist in the sense of sort of objectifying women, but certainly a lot of our effects actually work through how much being raised by an employed mom affects your gender attitudes, affects your ideas about what men and women should do, what's appropriate for men and women to do.
Thanks, Fred, for the call. We've had some amazing calls this hour, haven't we?
So we have. I think you get amazing calls every hour you're on, Kathleen.
Yeah, these people, though, are exceptional today. Let's go to Walter in Wausau. Hi, Walter.
Howdy.
Hi.
This is really interesting because I run across a half a dozen things that y'all talk to with other people that all got to me at some point or another. I'm 74 years old. My mother worked when I was very small because my father was out to the war. And basically, she continued to work as a single mom. But it took two families to support you anyhow. So I got passed around to all my different pieces of my family. We moved a lot. That was post-World War II, you know, wall to wall. But through it all, my mother was this incredibly strong and stable person. In spite of the fact she came from, you know, pretty meager and humble beginnings in South Georgia. So I feel like what she did in making me independent, she expected more from me.
Your phone is kind of cutting out on us, but you're a great call to end because it's where we started. And thank you very much, Walter, for your call. Professor McGinn, thank you so much. It was a great hour. Thanks for your research. Keep us informed as you do new studies, please.
Thank you, Kathleen, and thanks for the discussion. I really learned a lot from it.
Yeah, so did I. I learned a lot from our callers. You're inspirational today, everybody. Kathleen McGinn, professor of business administration at Harvard Business School, chair of their school's doctoral programs. Her interest is in gender at work and also negotiations, and we talked about her study about employed moms. Thanks to KP Whaley and to Scott Myers for producing an on-air production. We'll be with you tomorrow.